You're listening to the EWN Podcast Network.
Welcome to Spotlight on eWomen, the place for everything eWomen Network. Entrepreneur, enterprising, enlightening, and exciting. Please welcome your eWomen host, Phyllis Smith.
Hello, and welcome to Spotlight on eWomen Network. I'm Phyllis Smith, and this member spotlight feature focuses on people who have achieved success despite their past, despite challenges they might have faced. And then they turn around and then offer their wisdom with others and share it and help other people achieve their own success. So today's member spotlight is Jens Johnson. And I love this woman. This woman, she is like motivation on steroids, okay? She is so great to be around. She comes into our office. She lives here in Dallas. And when we see her, there is a bright smile. She literally lights up a room. I mean, I think that the electricity just, you know, just maxes out when she walks into a room. So I want you to meet her, and Jens is going to share some of that energy and some of that motivation and inspiration with us today. So Jens, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, Phyllis. And I feel the exact same way about you and all of the people at headquarters and the eWomen Network community, which is one of the reasons why I am so excited to be a part of the eWomen Network community, because I really do feel like it's fantastic. Family, helping family. And that's really what I'm all about. At the end of the day, I want to help others succeed and achieve their greatness.
That's so, right. And well, we thank you. And you've just taken over the Dallas chapter, North Dallas chapter. So we just love having you there. Man, that place is going to light up. So, you know, you say you have a passion for helping people rebuild their lives from, you quote, the quote, beat down.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So my question to you is, have you experienced the beat down? And if so, what helped you personally? What was it, and what helped you get out of that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that people go through life, you know, I tell people, you know, think about when you were younger. When you were younger, you believed that there was nothing that you couldn't do. A lot of people thought, you know, gosh, I'm going to be the president of the United States. I'm going to be a movie star. I'm going to be a rock star. You had no limitations on yourself. And that's how we start our lives, because truly we don't have any limitations on ourselves. The only limitations that we have on ourselves are the ones that are self-imposed. But what happens in life is we get beat down. And I mean that unintentionally. I mean, whether our parents beat us down, whether our siblings, our school teachers, our friends, our significant others, we just go through life and unintentionally, for the most part. Now, obviously, there are some people that intentionally beat others down, but for the most part, it's unintentional beat down where before you know it, we're starting to beat ourselves down. And we start to put those self-imposed limitations. So the greatness that we have within us, we start to basically pale into comparison to what we're really supposed to do in this life. And for myself personally, I've got an incredible family. I've got a mother that's wonderful, a father that's wonderful. I've got five siblings, so there's six of us. But my mother has suffered with mental health issues. And now she's in her 80s, and she's just a beautiful woman, but she has Alzheimer's, she has dementia. But prior to that, she really went untreated with some mental health issues. And when you're in a home with someone that has mental health issues, they do tend to beat you down. And I had my father's influence that was building us up, and I had my mother's influence who was unintentionally beating us down, to the point where I actually got married to my first husband because my mother said, this is who you should marry. This is the person you should marry. This is the right one for you. And not that he wasn't a wonderful person, because he was. Not that he didn't come from a wonderful family, because he did. But that wasn't the person that really I should have married. But I followed my mother's advice and got married, and I lived a life, and I think a lot of people can relate to this, Phyllis, where you're looking around at your life and you're like, hold on a second, this isn't the life that I had in my mind, the picture in my mind that I was going to be living. And I dealt with that for years. And even my husband at the time would say, you know, Jen's, something's not right. Something's not right. He could sense it because you can't fake your energy. You can't fake your feelings. You can't fake your thoughts. They go out of that brain and people feel it. And it was a defining moment that I had to have in myself where I just said, I have to stop living the life that I'm living because it's not the life that I want to live. And I had to be okay with that. And I had to step out and be very vulnerable and go on my own two feet as a single mom with three kids, literally at times having $12 or less in my bank account. You know, I had a story that I share with people because I want them to understand where you have to be in order to climb and to soar. But there was a Christmas Eve where I was a single mom and I was working at a job where our paycheck would be automatically deposited into our account. And this was before the days where you had your cell phones and you could check your bank account. You had to drive to an ATM. And I kept driving to the ATM to check on when my paycheck would go in the account so I could go buy Christmas presents for my children. And it was 2 o'clock in the morning, Christmas morning, when I was at Walmart buying their Christmas gifts. And I'll never forget that. And I never want to forget that because that's where you have to be that committed that you want to live a different life, that you'll do whatever it takes. And it was scary to be a single mom of three kids. And it was scary to not know when the big break was going to happen. But you just had faith that if you were going to do the right things were going to happen and you could just never quit. So I definitely resonate with these people, specifically women who I know they have greatness. I can see their potential, but they're just at a place where they're afraid to, like Steve Harvey says, jump. And you have to jump to get your wings and to fly. That's the only way you have to do.
And so then what was the pivotal point for you when you went from checking your bank account to saying, I can't do this anymore? What was that pivotal moment? Was it that moment or another moment? And what exactly did you do? What steps did you take to change that?
Right. Well, you know, when I made the decision to live my life the way I wanted to live my life, I obviously had to get out of my first marriage. And I started very intentionally planning. You know, what was it that I wanted to do? And, you know, I'll be honest with you. I have always, my name Jens is French for people. I've always been a people person. I always love people. I've always been a leader in every role that I've ever been in, whether it's in corporate America, whether it has been in philanthropic volunteer agencies. I knew I had it within me. I had my master's degree. I knew I could do it, but I knew in order for me to get to here, and I was here, I was going to have to go from here to here to here to here. I knew I wasn't going to be able to jump out of the nest and do exactly what I wanted to do up here. It was going to take time. It was going to take steps. So I made an intentional plan where I was going to get a job. I was going to start saving money. I was going to network in the right group of people because I do believe that you have to learn to do the right things right with the right people. And you have to be right. You know, in my philosophy, success is like in a paradigm, like a little triangle. And 75% of that is you. You have to prepare yourself. You have to become more developed. You have to build your confidence. And I knew where I was. I had the potential. I've never in my life believed that our past dictates our future. Our past explains to ourselves and to others where we were when we made those decisions. And I knew, and I'm really big about this, I always self-evaluate. I self-evaluate myself on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, on an annual basis. And I say to myself, what am I doing or not doing that is helping me succeed or taking me away from that? So I've coined my phrase, you need to learn to do the right things right with the right people. And I would assess where I was. And I would say, listen, if I want success in a certain area, I've got to go find the truly successful people in those areas. Now, obviously, when I got divorced, the first thing I needed to do was make money. I couldn't think about all the different people I needed to go meet. First, I needed to stabilize myself financially, which I think is extremely important. And understanding that that step in becoming financially stable for myself and my children was something that was a vital necessity in order for me to go to the next step. I think a lot of people want to skip steps. And although that would be great, there's learning in every step and you have to go through that process, but it was very intentional planning. And I would plan, do, and review. That's one of my favorite things. And that's one of the things I love so much about Sandra at Yancey and how I resonated with her was when she said, you know, you always have to do the plan, do, and review. It's simple, but it's difficult because it requires discipline. But I knew that my ultimate goal was to be in a place where I could empower people, specifically women, that I wanted to help people step into their greatness and out of the beatdown. I wanted to love on people. I wanted to help people breathe belief into people. And I knew it was going to take time. And believe me, this is 15 years in the making, and I won't quit. I'll just keep on going.
What was it that actually helped you start becoming more financially stable? What was that step that you took?
I'll tell you, one of the things that my mother always taught me and my father as well was education was important. So prior to having my children, I went and I got my master's degree, and I knew that as soon as I left my marriage, that getting a financial sound position was the first step. And with my master's degree, with the preparation that I did prior to having children, those decisions that we make, which I think is really important that people realize, you have to decide that you're going to succeed before you succeed. Even though I wasn't on the exact pathway to my success, I knew that there was a part of me that wanted success. So prior to having children, I made that decision to get my master's degree. So when I got divorced, I literally was able to secure a job in corporate America with a hospital system relatively quickly. And, you know, I hate to say how quickly because I don't want to ever discourage someone, but it was relatively quickly. But another thing that I attribute that to as well is I've always networked. I have always been a genuine networker, as sincere. I'm a very real, sincere person. I always want to add value to people's lives. So my entire life, regardless if I was a stay-at-home mom, which I was for many years, if I was working in philanthropic initiatives, I always added value. So when it was the time for me to get a position in corporate America with that hospital system, I went to my network that I had added value to for many, many years, and people gladly assisted me. And I think that when you invest in other people, it's going to come back to you, whether it's from them directly or whether it's from someone else. I truly believe that no good deed that we do goes unrecognized, and it will come back to us. So that's what my sister said, you know, Jens, you've done so many good deeds. Now you're reaping the benefits. And I truly believe that.
No question. I think what you're saying, it's so important. It's self-awareness first.
Absolutely.
And your self-awareness that you weren't in the right place, and the self-awareness that, hey, I can't leave now because I don't have any money.
Right.
So you need to, but I love that you also started early. So mm-hmm. You talk a lot about your dad, and you mentioned him earlier.
Yes.
Your mom suffered from mental illness, but you say he had ambition and a heart for people. And it sounds like you, you know, we sometimes, we don't necessarily choose which parent that we're going to go after, but in your, and or be, or emulate in any way. And it sounds like somehow subconsciously you managed to do that, that you say you've always been a leader, you know, so you access the goodness that came out of your home and your dad.
Oh, 100%. You know, my dad was a tennis pro and he played professional tennis. He toured all over. He played in Wimbledon. He played in the US Open. He was a coach at the University of Oklahoma, go Sooners. And he taught all six of us some valuable lessons. But you know, this is what's so interesting to me is as six siblings, you know, five siblings, so six kids, he taught this to all of us, but each one of us absorbed things differently. But one of the things he would say to us is, you know, 95% of the people will just exist. They will just drift through life. They live a life by chance, not by choice. And you only 5% of the people will try. Only 5% will even attempt to live a life with intentionality and run after their dreams. And 50% of that 5% will quit and give up and not have success. So the odds are always in our favor to win. We are truly only competing with 2.5% of the people. And the neat thing, Phyllis, as you know, which is another reason why I love the eWoman Network and the community in which we have, is that successful people sincerely want to help other people succeed. And when you start to associate with someone who claims success and they're not willing to help you succeed, that is a red flag that you want to, you got to hitch your wagon to successful people. And the way people treat you is how you can tell if they're truly successful, because there's a lot of posers out in the world. Let me tell you. And that's why I think it's so important. And my dad did influence me. And, you know, one of my personal blogs is just sharing how my dad truly did believe and taught us through his example that all people are equal. And all people have the potential to achieve. And my dad would talk to someone who could be a janitor or someone who could be a president of a bank, exactly the same, with the same love. And I always remembered that. It to me, that was a gift, because people would always smile. And when I was younger, I really didn't understand the difference, because my dad wouldn't introduce us differently. He would introduce us to each person exactly the same. So that level of respect, because a human being is a human being, and that love and that admiration truly is the same. And I am just blessed to be able to say that was a lesson that was really just impressed upon me at a young age, and it's something that I carry on to this day.
And we have to take a short break, but what you're, you know, I hear what you're saying is you're grateful for your dad, but also the good and the bad and the ugly, your mom
absolutely.
Too, even the bad stuff that has caused us pain also are lessons. So
100%.
So we're going to take a short break, and then when we get come back, you're going to help us take those a step or two in that direction to find the joy that we truly seek. So stand by. We'll be right back.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
Welcome back to Spotlight on eWomen. Here's your host, Phyllis Smith.
Hi, and welcome back to Spotlight on eWomen Network. I'm with the fabulous Jens Johnson. I love this woman. And we've been just talking about her life and how you you were talking about your dad most recently, yeah, and how he just, he treated everyone equally, mm-hmm, and how you are such a people person and you have a passion for helping people achieve their own dreams because you are able to. You were one time, right, you know, went to, as you were talking about, you know, had $12 in your bank account and were shopping at 2 a.m. mm-hmm, after the money came in, you know, for at the Walmart to get your kids a holiday present. And then we also talked about gratitude a little bit, mm-hmm, as we're going into the break. So given that we're in a holiday season and any, you know, holiday season, but even beyond the holiday season, mm-hmm, how important gratitude is, the good, bad, and the ugly.
Oh.
So tell me about your experience in that. You know, you're grateful for your dad, but you're also grateful for your mom, even with her mental illness.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think that there is a lesson to be learned in every situation that we encounter. And I think sometimes it's the most difficult, the most challenging, the most hurtful situations that we learn the most, because we really learn who we are, what our character is, and what we value. And I will tell you, although that my mother suffered with mental illness and still does, she is a brilliant person. And there were a lot of things that I learned from her. And I think that it's so important for us as individuals on a daily basis, and I'm serious, on a daily basis, to truly count our blessings. One of the things that my current husband, I'm remarried, and when we first got married, he would get frustrated with me sometimes because we would have disagreements, like every married couple does, and like every relationship does. You know, we are not perfect, so there's not going to be a perfect relationship. But he would get frustrated with me sometimes because I wouldn't get as upset as he thought I should get upset. And I would always say, how in good faith can I be upset when I'm alive? I have good health. I have a wonderful family. I have so many gifts and blessings. I have to always be grateful. At every, you know, I'm grateful when I have a person that I am going back and forth with and I learn who they truly are. And who they truly are may be not the person that I really want to associate with. I'm very, very particular on who I have in my inner circle because I know how important that is. But when somebody in my inner circle that I've allowed in shows me their true colors, and their true colors potentially may not be who I prefer to associate with, I don't get upset. I think of that as a gift. It's a gift. We receive gifts every day. It's a gift to know how somebody truly is. It's a gift if you have no money in your bank account and you learn how to get $15, $20, $100 the next day. That is a gift because you're learning a skill that if you're able to go from no money to $100 in one day, that's a gift. And I tell people all the time that if every dollar was taken away from me today, I don't worry about that because I have mastered the skills to go out and hustle. And that's what you have to do. You have to hustle. And I don't mind hustle. I don't mind hustling. I don't mind the grind. There is nothing that I can't achieve. But the only reason I know that for a surety is because I've learned and mastered those skills. So I'm grateful. I'm extremely grateful for all those experiences. And I think sometimes people don't realize the gifts that we are given in those times of adversity. So here we are in the holiday season. And I think that my challenge would be is not only write down the people that you're grateful for, but write down those hardships that you've had in your life and figure out the lessons if you haven't already, and be grateful for those lessons and be aware, like you mentioned earlier, that self-awareness, be aware of the lessons that you learned through those times of adversity, and give thanks for that.
There are people, you know, one of the things you also talk about is your love and passion for exercise. So there's people that are, I mean, your dad was a tennis coach.
Right.
You said he played professional tennis. I mean, when you just told me earlier, you told us earlier that he was at Wimbledon. I mean, he was like one of the best in the world to get there.
Absolutely.
That's a drive, right? You've got a drive. And have you always like to exercise? Is that just something you kind of grew up with in a home of an athlete?
Right. Obviously in our home it wasn't an option. If you were going to do something athletic, it was expected. And we did do that. So I also thank my parents for instilling that at a young age. But I can tell you that when I was in college, I gained that freshman 15, just like I think everybody did. And if you didn't, that you weren't having enough fun. And so when I was in college and I was away from home, that's when I really had to learn to love to exercise. And I can tell you, I went into my very first aerobics class. That's what they called it back in the day. And it was hysterical. I mean, I had no rhythm. I couldn't follow. I was in the back, literally laughing so hard I could barely breathe. And because I'm just so competitive, I thought, I am going to learn how to do this. And I kept doing it. And then, of course, I learned to love it. Well, when I left college, I was in a position where I couldn't go to classes. I had to start running. And I was in track and field when I was younger. But I ran short distances, not long distances. And I can remember for 3 months going out 5 days a week running. And in my mind, I would say, I hate this. I hate this. I hate this. And then before long, I was like, I guess I kind of like this. And then I do like it. And then I do like it. And ever since that day, Phyllis, and that was probably, I was probably 21 at the time, I have always loved exercise. I've done it. It's been a huge part of my life. My undergraduate degree is actually in health and wellness. And it's something that I do 6 days a week. I understand that in order to be the best version of ourselves, we really have to be in our best physical condition. It helps our mind. It helps our body. It helps our spirit. And that is something that I say, that if somebody starts to get involved with me, before you leave my circle, that sphere of influence, I will get you into exercising. But I'm patient with people. I'm very, very patient, because I understand that sometimes that people, they have a resistance to it. And I don't want people to be resistant to that. So I love on people until they feel comfortable with me. And then that is going to be a part of your influence with me, your time with me.
Yeah. And you know, some people might be looking, watching or listening to this and going, yeah, you know, if you can't see her, you could, you know, she's gorgeous, right? So you're gorgeous on the outside and the inside. But I believe that you can work out as much as you want and have a beautiful exterior, but on the inside, you feel like crap. Oh. So, you know, it's like one, they go hand in hand.
Yes.
People who, you know, don't feel like exercising, or they don't care about their own wellness. It's the struggle is not from that they don't like to exercise.
Right.
It's much deeper, and it's, they need to know that they're worth it.
Absolutely. That 100%, you know, people, and this is something that a lot of people don't want to hear, but people, the more you value yourself, the more self-worth that you have in yourself. And believe me, there are people that are extremely successful that are not at the physical condition that they really need to be. It's an issue of self-worth and putting yourself first and finding the not just the time, but finding the self-worth within you to put yourself and your physical condition. And like you said, it doesn't matter to me what somebody looks like. I want people to be in the best physical condition that they can be in for themselves, for their health. Because I understand, you know, I was in healthcare for over a decade, and I understand the importance of prevention. I mean, I'll get on a soapbox. Listen, you can prevent diseases. You'll have disease growing inside you for years before you have a symptom. And once you get that symptom, then you do have to treat it medically. And it's a lot easier to prevent a disease from growing in your body than it is to treat afterwards. And I want to help save people that experience, because it can be prevented. So for me, it's a lot bigger than, hey, I want you to get in a size 8 dress. I want you to prevent diseases so you can save your greatness and give it to the world in a much better way and for longer, for years and years to come. I want to help prevent that from somebody having to go through that if they can prevent that.
We are running out of time. We've actually run out of time. So if you could just give us, you know, one quick tip for people who maybe they, you know, might have a weight issue or they are looking to reimagine their life right. In one way or another. What's the first step, the one step that people can start taking right now today to start moving towards their goal?
The first thing is stop what you're doing and sit down and make a plan. That is the most important thing, is to stop what you're doing, make a plan with a timeline. So this is the goal that I want, and this is the things that I believe I need to do to complete them. And then who are the people that you are going to connect with that is going to help you reach those goals and make a timeline? If you don't stop and write it down and get those people involved with the timeline so you can start executing, it's just something that you think about. And I want people to bring about what they're thinking about, because that's what really brings us success and happiness.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. Bring about what you're thinking about.
Yes.
Okay, Jens, thank you so much. And if people want to reach out to you for you to help them make that plan, they can do that. How do they find you?
Go to my website, jensjohnson.com. That's G as in George, E-N-S as in Sally, johnson.com. And they can access me there, as well as they can even email me at jens@jensjohnson.com. I just love people and would love to help in any way that I can.
Beautiful. You're a beautiful lady. And thank you so much for your beautiful smile and all of your wisdom.
Thank you so much, Phyllis. And you're gorgeous as well. I love you.
Love you too, girl.
Bye-bye.
It's a love fest.
It is.
Do you feel like you're drowning in administrivia? Do you have a podcast you would like transcribed to repurpose as a blog or even a best-selling book? Rhonda's Virtual Office is the answer to the freedom you crave, so you can get busy doing what you love. Let Rhonda's Virtual Office give you the relief you need. Visit rhondasvirtualoffice.com and get some peace of mind today. Rhonda's Virtual Office is the go-to transcription service for EWN Podcast Network.
You're listening to the EWN Podcast Network.